Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies. Get your prance on with your host, Lisa Lamont, who will guide you to the next level of awareness with other women just like you. There's no need to hold back because you're safe here with your fellow kitties. And now, here's Lisa.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining me for another exciting edition of Ladies Get Your Prance On. And today I have a treat for you. My guest is going to be talking about how to stand out and differentiate yourself so nobody notices normal. If you get noticed, you get remembered. And if you get remembered, you get business. You can attract and win more business when you take some small, smart, and simple steps that put you in the spotlight and stand out. Blend in and being normal sucks the potential out of your business. Learn some encouraging kick-in-the-pants steps to ignite your business mojo. Build your credibility and increase your visibility with my special guest today, Liz Wendling. She's a business consultant, sales expert, and get this, emotional intelligence coach. Welcome, Liz.
Hey, Lisa. Nice to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on today. We had to, you know, your schedule's been so busy, and so we finally found this date that we could collaborate on and get you on the show. And, you know, first of all, I would just like to have you kind of introduce yourself and say where you're from, you know, because a lot of people know that I live up here in Washington State, but you are not from Washington State.
I am not. I live right now in Denver, Colorado, but originally from the Bronx, New York, and grew up in New Jersey. So my inner Jersey girl might come out, so I just want to warn you.
Woo! I love
that. She's a little feisty at times.
I'm learning something new about you already. So, Jamie, how long have you been in business?
I'm going on my seventh year right now, and I was one of the, what I felt fortunate, being laid off when the economy shifted in 2008, and I joyfully left my job in corporate America and just willingly leapt into the arms of entrepreneurship, not knowing what the heck I was doing, thinking that I could just figure it out along the way, and I did, but I bumped into a lot of brick walls along the way.
I bet. So were you still in New York at the time?
No, I was in Colorado. Yep.
So you've been in Colorado for a while.
Yeah, 20 years now.
And so if you could talk to yourself back when you first started your business and to talk to yourself back then, what advice would you give yourself? Because we have a lot of listeners that are fairly new entrepreneurs. They've only been in business 1, maybe 2 years. And so what would wise Liz tell fresh starting out entrepreneur Liz?
Oh, the minute you started asking that question, I got this flood of information, and that would be to get help early on. And what I mean by that is don't think you can do everything on your own. Don't try to do every single thing in your business by yourself. Find out the ones that light you up and the ones that move your business, even if it's small steps moving forward. Do the things that light you up and hire out the stuff that doesn't light you up, or find a trade or do something. Find someone out there who can help you move your business but not necessarily have to pay the big bucks. I spent tens of thousands of dollars on do-it-yourself programs, and I hired coaches I didn't need at the time. I might have needed them down the road, but in the beginning, I needed only really specific small steps to get started. Then I needed the next few steps and the next few steps, and I tried to do everything all at one time. And it was overwhelming, and I just felt like I was running around with my hair on fire every day, not really seeing the big jumps that I wanted to make in my business.
So then you've done all the work for the new entrepreneurs starting out. You know what they need because you've been through it and you can't overwhelm.
And I will stop them and say, don't you dare spend money on that. You're not ready for that yet. in 90 days, let's reassess that. Don't you dare buy that program. Don't you go to that conference in California that's going to cost you $3,000. You're not ready for that. And I really beat the drum very loudly about that because there are so many people that they see this great landing page that makes all these promises to change your business in 3 days over the course of a week, and that is not the reality. It's just not the reality. And because I knew how to sell, because that's what I teach, I knew how to go after the business. So I see a lot of women who don't like to sell themselves and don't like to have sales conversations. So they were missing that big piece, too. I wasn't. At least I had the ability to go out there and close sales to pay for all the stuff that I was buying.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned, because there's a lot of programs out there that people are promoting to sign up for their package, and it's very expensive, between $1,000 and $10,000.
Yep.
To work with them for this VIP special package, and at the end of it, you're going to be able to make $10,000 a month.
Yep.
You know, no matter what your business is, you can be a massage therapist or a hypnotherapist or whatever, and that's not true. It's not
true. Lisa. In fact, it's the biggest lie that people are falling for these days. And again, I fell for it 8 years ago too. I really thought, wow, somebody has a secret that in 3 days I could be making $10,000 a month. So I get myself on a plane and I fly across to California, only to find out that they've got another thing that they're selling that's $15,000 that can help do it for me. And every time I turned around, I was writing these big checks. But all, when it really came down to it, is if I just hired a business coach who has a track record and said, we're going to only do this. These are the first three steps that we're going to focus on right now, because everything else makes no sense to take that on when you're not ready for that. And someone who would take my shoulders and say, no, not yet. Let's focus here before we take a step forward. And fortunately, that's what I help my clients with now. I will virtually reach through the phone and rattle their chains to stop them from doing the things that they're doing that is not moving their business forward.
Well, and you know, I love it also, I see you use the word love too, because I love all this. I have wonderful guests like you on there, and I love, you know, having you on, because you are experienced and you've been around the block and you know what's right and wrong. And I watch your posts and I see your posts, and you were there to not be a vampire and victimize your clients. You were there to help work with your clients so they can shine and be their best and to take steps. It isn't like, here you go, take this package, and you know, you work
right
with them to get them to where they need to be in the proper order.
That's right. And that's the key, because anybody can make, I mean, I could give you a recipe, but if you're not following the recipe and you're beating the eggs before you're supposed to, or you're forgetting to add ingredients, it isn't going to work. So building a business is like building a beautiful meal, and there's steps and there's prep work and there's some shopping to do and there's some defrosting and some cutting and dicing and slicing that you have to do before that beautiful meal is on the table.
Yeah, that's so true. So let me start in when we were talking there. You had told me when we were talking earlier that there's a few threats that are affecting business owners and entrepreneurs these days. And what are those threats?
Well, the one thing, there's a few of them, but one of, actually, we'll talk about two of them, but many things that are threatening businesses these days, because so much has changed just in the last 5 years. We've seen business change in 5 years more than we have in the last 40 years, thanks to the internet and social media. It has radically changed. So now one of the threats is that there's so many people out there that are not able to distinguish themselves. They're not differentiating themselves. They look exactly like everyone else in the industry. So in their particular industry, so in a world that's competitive, it's cluttered, it's crowded, and it's awfully noisy, it's becoming harder and harder for individuals, entrepreneurs, and business owners to stand out and differentiate themselves. It seems like everywhere we look, there's more and more and more of the same old thing sold by the same old people in the same old way. And nothing seems to change. The language doesn't change. So everybody starts to look exactly the same. So how do you stand out if you sound like every realtor out there, every personal trainer, piano teacher, coach, or dentist? if you all sound the same, how could you separate yourself from the pack? So if you're not separating yourself from the crowd, you're just blending in. And no one will even notice you, much less seek you out and tell all their friends about you. And I always tell people, nobody notices normal. The only way for you to stand out is if you break through that clutter and the crowd and the noise and rise above what everyone else is saying and doing and find a way to be distinctive in your business. And there's lots of ways, and we're going to go into them in a little while, but there's lots of things that people can do to just turn the dial on being a little distinctive. And if they don't take the time to do this, they will be put in the box of their competition. So they'll be put in the realtor box, the banker box. They'll be put in the coach box because the average consumer can't tell the difference. So they just want to throw you in the box where they think you belong. And I always say that your job is not to even get in that box. Your job is to be so different that no one can compare you to everyone else in your industry.
You know what popped into my head when you're talking about that? My mind goes off in different directions. Be able to help your clients also when they go to networking events and they have to do the dreaded elevator pitch, which I wish all meetings would ban doing the elevator pitch. There's nothing worse than you mentioned, like real estate or yep. a financial advisor, and I can almost lip sync what they're going to say because they all sound like it. They're like wah 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 wah.
Oh, my gosh, it's so true. And they can't stand out if they're all saying the same thing. I've been in business this long. I help people go to bed at night knowing that their financial security is safe. Or I have great customer service. Or I went to this school. Or I have this certification. Big deal. Tell me what's in it for me, and then I'll give you the time of day and listen to you. And today's 30-second commercial is really 15. We have about 15 seconds to capture someone's attention these days, sometimes less. Sometimes people are clicking off of a website in less than 2 seconds. So we really have to work hard on at least some sort of a differentiator so people say, oh, that was interesting. How do you do that? Or you mentioned something in your commercial. I'd like to find out more about that. If that's not happening, then you've not passed the big old boring test. You sound like everyone else, and they just put you in the box, they shut the channel off, and they're off to the next commercial.
That's really interesting. So what do you do to help the people to get out of the status quo and break out of this normal? What is it that you do?
Well,
what
I work with people.
You?
I'll actually answer that second question right away because I was thinking you might ask me that. So I do. There's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of sales and business coaches out there, and my unique differentiator in my market is that I offer 100% money back guarantee on every one of my programs, whether they're working one-on-one with me, group coaching. I believe in what I do and how I help people so much that I'm willing to put my money on the line for it. And before I take on a client, I make sure that they know that there's a money-back guarantee, but here's one of two things happen. They're not hiring me because they're saying things like, oh, well, I think it should work, or yeah, I'm willing to give it a try, or wow, that sounds great, so if it doesn't work, I can get my money back. I know in my head that's not the client for me, because that's not somebody that's fully invested in doing the work. So I either have a come-to-Jesus meeting with them and say, look, the language that you're using doesn't sound like you're 100% committed to this. And what I need to hear from you is, oh, my gosh, you must be great if you're willing to give me my money back. Or, oh, my gosh, I want to work with someone like you who's willing to do that for someone. I want the language that says, I'm willing to do the work with you because it sounds like you're the right person for me. I don't want to hear wishy-washy words. I want people to really understand that there's some work involved, and it isn't about just trying and dabbling in a couple of things. You and I are going to work together, and if you don't do the work and if you don't follow my guidelines, then your 100% money back guaranteed is null and void. So they have to play along with me. They've got to do the work with me. So we've got deadlines and some mile markers that we get to. And if by, let's say, month 3, 90 days into the program, they miss their homework 3 times or they canceled 2 of their coaching calls, How can I guarantee my program if they're adjusting what I'm doing? So they and they say, this lady means business. I am willing to do the work. Now, granted, things happen. Things happen where meetings need to be rescheduled. I'm flexible around that. But when I start seeing a pattern of someone who doesn't get me the work that they promised or needs to cancel an appointment, I know that they're running into their own interference that probably is something they run into all the time. The people who get so far into a program or get so far down the success road, and then they want to sabotage themselves and they stop doing the work. No different than somebody who's seen great results on a diet and then decides, oh, I'll just have one piece of cake, and next thing you know, they're 4 gallons of ice cream into it 3 weeks later, and they've completely blown themselves off track. So I need people to stay focused, and when we work together like that, miracles happen in businesses because we're tracking along a process. As soon as we stop and we put something on hold for 2 or 3 weeks because you don't feel good or you had the flu or something like that, I'll work with people like that, but I can tell when people are really fully committed or not. So the differentiator there is that I will back my programs up, and I don't know many people who back up their coaching programs. In fact,
I've never heard of anybody that said, I guarantee, I will give you a refund. If you do the work and you don't get the results by doing the work that I give you, then I will refund your money. I mean, and that's what you're talking about. You're saying,
Or I'll say, if you're not happy, if what we're doing or I'm holding your feet to the fire too much and what we're doing doesn't work for you, then I'll give you your money back too. But almost exclusively people say, wow, you're tough, but you're great to work with. You really make me do what I need to do. And I've needed this for a long time. No one's held their feet to the fire. A coach.
Liz, you're a true coach. You're a true brain coach. Is a mental a mental wellness coach. Well, a lot of my clients, this is going to be funny, I'm like segueing into my own commercial, but it actually goes hand in hand. A lot of my clients are the referrals from business and life coaches whose clients have paid them the money to work with them, and they're blocking their own success. And so that's why they send them to me to have a reading done and the hypnosis, to remove the thoughts and stuff that are blocking them. So that it's so true. So there we go. I'm doing my little commercial there without, and I'm just like going, it's so true, because people block themselves because of all sorts of things. Maybe their mother never approved of them and their whole time growing up. And so now they've got this business and this career, but they've still got their mother in the background going, you'll never be as successful as your sister.
You'll never
be this, because, and I had those words, your sister, So it's true. And so I am sure that you talking with your clients, you find out where a lot of, where is this coming from? Where, I've given you the assignment. I've given you, where is this coming from?
Absolutely. And I notice patterns. I'm a real pattern watcher. I listen for language patterns and behavior patterns. And I will, with love, say to my client, look, this is the language I keep hearing. Or you keep saying this, but you do this. We need to figure out why what you're doing and what you're saying doesn't match up. And where in your life do you that? Because it's not in your business only. Where do you do that? Do you do that to your kids? Do you tell your friends you'll meet them and then you don't show up or you're late? Because patterns show up in your business and your life that look almost identical, but very rarely do people match them up and say, oh, I'm doing that in my business as well. Or, oh my gosh, I did that to my friends last week. We're not in awareness. We don't know what we're doing to ourselves in those situations and those patterns. We can't see our own patterns. Sometimes other people have to point them out to us.
Absolutely. And I love, I went to your Facebook business page, and I love the quote, if at first you don't succeed, try doing what your coach told you to do the first time.
That's my favorite.
I wrote that down. I went, that is so cool. That is
my
so
favorite
cool.
quote. Because I will ask my clients when they do something, or, oh, I went to this networking event, and I said, okay, well, tell me about it, and what happened at the end, and did you do this, this, and this? Oh, I forgot. I said, oh, well, what would your coach have told you to do? So when I'm with my clients, I'm really with them. I wind up becoming friends with them. I go to their kids' weddings, and I feel like I get inside their head, but I also get inside their heart, and they get in mine as well. You can't spend 3, 4, 6 months, sometimes a year with someone without falling in love with them. You know, they're there for you and you're there for them, and it's really a beautiful process. So you get to talk to your clients in a way that you can start being super honest so they get super clear in their results.
Well, I can just tell by, you know, what you're sharing with us today too, is that you're just not a one-stop shop coach. I mean, you're not like, I'm going to work with you for 3 weeks and then that's it, you know, have a good life and you're
right.
done. I can really tell that, you know, if people want to continue and work with you, you're there. You're there to take them to the next level. Or they may take some time off and say, I'm going to work on this for a while and I'll come back to you. And you're like, okay, there we go. Where are you at? And where do you want to go next? And I can tell that. I can tell from, you know, from what you're sharing with us is that you will work with people wherever they're at. And that's great. That's great. So can you give
and
us
one
some
other
examples
thing to
that
add to that that you just
business owners?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again.
Can you give us some examples that play out for business owners and entrepreneurs about standing out and not being normal?
So how some examples of how they can stand out?
Sure.
Okay.
Or
was
not
that your
stand
question?
Out, either way.
Okay. Oh, could you say that again? I'm sorry. I was talking while you were talking, and I missed that, and I apologize.
So can you give us some examples how that plays out that business owners and entrepreneurs can stand out and not be normal?
Oh, okay. So actually, I'll give you a couple. Okay, so one of the things that they can do is in a way to differentiate themselves. Obviously, it's going to be your energy, your intention, your mindset, the way that you talk about your business and the words that you use to describe your business. But there's also some things that they can do that are small little changes to make them start looking at, okay, this is how I run my business. But what are some little tiny tweaks and changes that could make me rise up to the top? So maybe they can differentiate themselves. Let's say they're offering a service. So maybe there's the way that they do their service is maybe they do it a little quicker or easier to check out or an easier way to deliver their service. Or maybe they do it by unexpectedly responsive, meaning somebody sends you an email and you respond right away. And I don't mean that you have to drop everything and respond to people, but that you are so on top of your game. And this is one of the things my clients are always surprised about. They'll send me something. I have my phone with me all the time, so how can I not respond to people? I would rather respond quickly and get it off my plate than have it in my inbox at the end of the day and have 76 emails that I have to send out. So I check my email sitting at a red light, and if it's something that I could address right away, I do it. And sometimes I get back to people in less than 40 seconds. So having a response time that's very quick shows your clients, doesn't say that I'm not busy, I'm just sitting around doing nothing. It just says I take my business seriously, and if I can get something done pretty quickly, I'm going to do it. Maybe they can differentiate through a diagnosis. So like I had said earlier, I notice patterns. So you can differentiate yourself by noticing patterns depending on your business. So let's say you're a life coach or a dentist or, let me think. Let's just go with a life coach. And you're talking to people or you're at a networking event and you happen to be sitting at the same table with a lot of the same people month after month. For you to be able to go up to someone and say, you notice, I've noticed something about you. The last couple of times that we spoke, you mentioned this. And that it looks like you have your antennas up so that you're noticing things about people, not saying, something like, oh, I noticed that you wore the same pants the last three networking events. Not that type of noticing, but noticing patterns. And people are really surprised, because I did that to a lady once, and I said, you know, the last few times we've been here, I've heard you mention how difficult it is to get to networking events, and that you're every time you come to one, you feel a little scattered because you're coming from another one, and you're back networking back to back. And I've noticed that when you show up, your energy looks a little scattered. Is there something I can help you with to center yourself so that when you show up to the transition from one networking to the next, you could really show up and not feel that, not have that scattered energy? She's like, oh my gosh, is it that noticeable? She had no idea that the energy she was showing up with to the second networking event, she might as well have lit her hair on fire, because that's what it looked like when she walked in the door, like putting out all these fires and the cartoon. I think it's the Peanuts cartoon with the dust ball, the dust behind. I forget the character who it is, but she was walking into these networking events with the energy of someone who was distracted, disorganized. And that was one way to differentiate yourself, but not in a good way. So people would look at her and go, that's not the kind of person I want to do business with. When somebody is that out of control, and it's not, they might be a great coach or dentist, whatever their industry is, but they haven't given themselves time to stop themselves and say, how do I want to show up? How do I want to walk through this doorway and be different so that I'm noticed for my good, not noticed for the bad.
I love that we're talking a little bit about live networking, though, because that is part of the business. If you're going to go out and do business, you know, you're not going to just set up a pretty website and then sit there and wait for, you know, cha-ching. You know, you have to get out there sometimes, and you have to network, and you have to try out different things. And, you know, I also see people that get into these women membership fee groups, and then they stay in their little comfort zone, you know, and they have like, you know, 20 or 30 of them, and, you know, well, we're all going to do business together. And to me, Liz, that's thinking small. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those businesses, but, you know, think outside the box, and, you know, there's so many people out there, and, you know, I just want people to know that, you know, to be comfortable, you're not going to grow. To be safe, you're not going to grow. And if you love what you're doing, then you want to share that message of passion. And I see when somebody comes up and says that, you know, that my company is the number one financial company in the nation, and we're ranked, I'm like, who cares? Who cares? Tell me about you. What is your passion? And what do you love to do? What do you love to do this summer? I love to get to know them. I don't really care about what their business is. I want to know who you are as a person to see if there's future alignment. Or even though I may not be buying a house right now, I might know somebody who is. And if I think you're kind of a fun person and intelligent, you know, I'm going to refer you.
I completely agree. And it isn't about what you do, how long you've been in business. And I think a lot of people think people give a crap about that. Today's consumers don't care how long you've been in business or about your fancy features and benefits or how many videos you have on YouTube or how cool your website is, how much passion you have. They only care about your product, how your product or service is going to help them have a better life or get a better result. That's all they care about. And if you can't in some way describe how what you do is different from someone else, then there's no way that you're going to be able to differentiate yourself. No one cares about that. So the language, showing up and using the language of my financial planning company has been in business since 1914, and we're on the top 100 Forbes list. Who cares? I want to know that you're a financial planner that specializes in, and you have a unique process that helps me do this, and that you work with people to get them this. And it better be different words than every other financial planner says. And when I do my workshops.
Who's your target? So we're just picking on these poor financial people, but if they're listening, they're going to love us because they're going, well, what am I supposed to say? You know, and know, so for example, know who your target audience is. And if it's women, between 30 and 50, then maybe you'll want to share something that women at that age may not know, that if they or know that if they start this now, if you start putting $100 a month into to this 401k package, you know, in 10 years you'll have this much money versus, you know, so give them some information that will apply to them and inform them and educate them.
That's right. And it again, it isn't about a commercial about the company you work for, how long you've been in business. I call it the pass the so what test. So if someone says, oh, well, I do this, I say, so what? So does the other company. So does the other CPA firm do that? I work with a lot of attorneys, and I'll say, okay, so what? Doesn't every attorney do that? Now, and then we go deeper and deeper and deeper, and we pick it apart enough to go, that's your unique selling proposition. That's the thing that you want to bring out. That's what you want to tell people. So I say, play the so what test with people and tell your friends, this is what I do, and ask me, so what? What does that mean for me? And you'd be surprised what you uncover when you play the so what test, even if you play it on yourself. It gets down there and says, yeah, big deal, so what? You save for retirement. Okay, what else? What else? What else? And that's the stuff when you uncover that, you come up with language that is different from someone else.
And another thing that somebody had told me that I applied and I thought was interesting is to tell people what you don't do. So tell people, this is not what I'm about. You know, so my radio show is targeted for women. So I'll say, you know, we're not going to be talking about Harley Davidsons and Big Mac trucks and Indy 500. We're going to, you know, it's those aren't the topics. So to also differ and say what you're not about. You know, I am about this. So it shows that, you know, this is my audience and these are the people I'm looking for. And,
oh, yeah,
you know,
the brain loves contrast. The brain really resonates with that. So in a 30-second commercial, if someone says, my name is, I do this, I focus on this, versus other companies who have a focus on that, or I specialize in this particular area, whereas some other firms struggle with being able to do this, or I'm a business and sales coach, and I work with business owners and entrepreneurs on honing in their message and making sure that the words that come out of their mouth really match their business versus just getting
That's
a
beautiful.
Cookie-cutter sales training program. Anybody can go to a cookie-cutter sales training program, but to have words that are your words that feel good coming out of your body is what I specialize in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's contrast there.
Okay. So how can people start to create a shift pretty quickly, and then can you give us some real life examples?
Yeah, well, pretty quickly, I always tell them that it's really truly up to them to not be seen as that commodity. And what I've noticed, this beautiful common thread that runs through successful business owners and entrepreneurs, is that each and every one of them have taken the time to get on paper or ask a bunch of people what they do differently. They're doing something unique and they're standing out. It's a very unique way that they do their business. And because they took the time to do that, they don't look like everyone else. They don't look like a commodity. And then what you said earlier is they get noticed. If you don't get noticed, I mean, if you get noticed, you get remembered. And if you get remembered, you get business. It's really that simple. So it's not about running around and wearing funky clothes or putting a red nose on your face to get noticed. It's about showing up with that right energy and the right message that resonate with you so that when somebody sees you and starts talking to you, they start to feel that energy as well. And they say, wow, she's really different. Or, wow, she really does have passion. Or, I like the way she describes her business. So because nobody notices normal, and I don't think normal pays the bills anymore. So it's about busting out and making some bold decisions and some ballsy actions to shake the foundation of normal. So to start with, it's examining what you do, how you do it, when you do it. And the first thing that I always tell people is, are you networking where your potential clients aren't, where your perfect clients aren't? I see too many people showing up at networking events, and nobody would hire them at these networking events because it's not a targeted networking event. So they're showing up and they're going out and they are networking and they're calling it networking, but they're networking in the wrong places. And that doesn't help anybody. So I would say I'm sure people on this call are doing Facebook and LinkedIn. I would imagine everybody, hopefully everybody is using Facebook and LinkedIn to grow their business. But one of the ways that you can differentiate yourself on Facebook and LinkedIn is not to do a virtual sales pitch. I'm going to tell you what that sounds like because I know I get at least 10 of these a day, and I delete every single one of them, and I know everyone else is doing the same thing. A virtual sales pitch will not make you stand out. In fact, it will get you to the delete button quicker than you can imagine. And it sounds like this. My name is. I can help you with this. I'm really great at that. I'd love to schedule some time with you. I want to find out more about your business, and I can share about mine. I've got this special offer. I'd like to help you build your business. And all those things that sound icky and old and sound like you got stuck in 1972. That will not help you stand out. It will make you stand out as someone they never want to do business with, versus having an approach on Facebook and LinkedIn that actually draws people to you versus repels them, using words and language that draw people in versus push you away. So when I'm working with people on conversations on LinkedIn, because of course when you're connecting with someone, you want to have some sort of an email that makes it look like it was specifically designed for you, specifically designed for that person, the recipient. And if you send something that says, hi, my name is, I can help you with this, and I'm really great at that, and I have this wonderful program that I think you'd be a perfect fit for, let's schedule a time to talk. Why would I schedule 30 minutes to talk with a complete stranger who barged into my inbox with a virtual sales pitch? Why in the world would I do that when you haven't even gone to my website or looked at my LinkedIn profile and found something to connect us? So one of the things I tell people is to do some research on people you want to connect with. Everybody can spot a generic email that went to 5,000 people. We all know what that looks like. So send me an email that makes it look like you crafted a little bit more specifically to me. You went to my website. You noticed I do this. Or you saw me on Facebook playing around the golf. Mention golf. Do something that makes me say, wow, this person took 10 seconds or 30 seconds to figure out a way that we can connect. And if you don't do that and it sounds like a virtual sales pitch, you're going to the trash.
Yeah, I go through. What really, here's a little pet peeve of mine too, and maybe you can relate, is when you meet somebody at a networking event, you give them a card, and then they add you to their mailing list. I don't
yes.
like that. I don't like that.
I really am bothered by that. I checked with somebody on this, so I'm glad you brought this out. We have a social media guru in town, and I checked with her on the spam laws, and this is it, and this is for everybody out there. When someone hands you a card, I didn't know this, but when someone hands you a card, you're basically saying, it's okay to do what you want with my information I'm handing over to you. I can add you to my email list. I can put you on a campaign. It's up to you to opt out. That's why so many email servers and lists now have right on the top, if you no longer want to receive this, check out of the box. So I can put you on it, but it's up to you to take yourself off of it, which pisses me off because I don't want to have to do that to 20 people a week.
So they're allowed to do it,
so they're not necessarily breaking any spam laws. In the past, that was a law that you couldn't do that. So now that's when you hand a business card over, you're saying, I'm putting you on that. That's basically saying, I could put you on my mailing list. So what I teach my clients is, if that's what you're going to do, I say, be transparent, be honest, and say, Mary, when I get back to my office, I typically add everybody to my email list that I meet. However, if you don't want any more emails, just tell me right now and I will bend your card a little bit and know that that's not the type of email that you want. However, if you'd like some information on how I work with clients or if you want some information on my upcoming events, I'd be happy to put you on my mailing list. And right
and
then and there.
People will do it. Yes.
Yeah.
And more than likely, if you have a good, if you're just there to shove your business card, though, they're probably going to say no. This is all you want is me on your mailing list. But if they engage in conversation, and in the conversation you you exchange business cards per se, or you have a conversation, you know, it's always nice to ask. That's all people want, and they'll probably say yes. And if not, they go, I hate emails, and then that's good to know too. But I just want the listeners to know that I have never bought anything from a email that I never asked to be on the list. So
yeah,
if you're listening,
never.
And that's what you do, I have never, ever bought or signed up for anything from an unsolicited email from the list. We have a caller. Do you like to take a call list? We have somebody calling.
Oh, yeah.
Let's grab this call.
All right. That'd
so,
be fun.
Caller with area code 916, you are on the line. What is your first name, please?
Hi, I'm just listening to the show.
Oh, you're just listening? Well,
yeah.
You know what? You were meant to call in. See, you were just listening. Do you have a question that you would like to ask Liz directly? I mean, you've got the cream of the crop here, so this is like a free opportunity.
I don't have a question yet because I haven't been listening long enough.
So do you
I don't
have
internet at
this?
Home, so that's why I listen to shows.
Sure.
And usually
you
if you press 1, that means you have a question.
Okay, let me ask you this before I put you back on off the call. Do you currently have
mm-hmm.
a business right now?
I'm retired.
No? You're retired?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get you off the call. I thought maybe you had a question, but thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
Okay. So Liz, you know, this is really good that we're able to talk about these little pet peeves. For, you know, especially people starting out in business and how they want to get noticed. And to get noticed is not to be annoying. I was going to make that point. It's just like, you do not want to be annoying.
That's exactly it. And too many people show up, and I know they don't wake up, take a shower, put makeup on, and drive to a networking event and say, I think I'll be totally annoying, and I'm going to aggravate a bunch of people today. But they don't ever stop and say, how do I want to show up? How do I want to be? How do I want people to perceive me? And is the words that are coming out of my mouth, are they attracting clients or are they pushing people away?
Yeah,
and I don't know how many people take the time to really kind of sit in their car for 60 seconds and just say, oh, I just want to release that bad drive or all that traffic I just sat in. I don't want to show up at this networking event with negative energy. I don't want that to be a part of what people see. And that is something that pushes people away as well. And I don't know that how many people take the time to kind of whisk that stuff off their body so that when they do show up, they're fully present, fully engaged. Even just doing that makes you stand out. Just that alone is one of the first steps to make you stand out because you're showing up fully engaged. And how many people do you know that are fully engaged? They're half engaged because one hand has their cell phone on it and their head is down and they're distracted. And we're dealing with people in such a distracted society these days that no one is showing up fully engaged and actually looking in people's eyes and having conversations and fully listening as well. Because you can tell when someone's listening to you or are they just listening to you because they have a great response.
Yeah,
there's a real difference.
True.
And so another thing I teach people is how to listen at that level that people can feel that you're listening. Have you ever had someone...
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we're going to continue this conversation. So we will be right back with Liz Edlin.
Great.
Did you know that you were born with a personal code that reveals your true purpose in life? Jen Duchenne translates that code into valuable information you can use right now to discover your purpose and clear the blocks that keep you from creating the success you desire. Jen Duchenne is a master of the powerful tool of astronumerology, which has the answers you seek. To learn more, visit jenduchenne.com. That's jenduchenne.com. And get moving on your success path to a life of meaning, money, and joy.
Ladies, opportunity is not an opportunity unless you can do something about it. Here's your opportunity to work with Lisa. For over 30 years, Lisa Lamont has been providing direction for countless others with her unique gypsy cards that were passed to her over 30 years ago. Mention Prancing Kitten, and you will receive 50% off Lisa's 5-star VIP package. Go to lisalamont.com today.
And we are back. Liz, you know, I was thinking, do you work with people, entrepreneurs who are introverted? Because there's a big difference between an extrovert and an introvert personality.
Ooh, what a great, great question. And yes, I do. And most of my clients are introverted.
Interesting.
Yeah, they come to me because they say, these are their exact words. I hate selling. I hate marketing myself. I hate, and I know hate's a strong word, but this is the language they use. I hate going to networking events. I never know what to say, or I'm so uncomfortable when I go there. It's not typically the outgoing people who have problems with getting out there and meeting new people. They might not know exactly what to say, but at least they're going out and they're doing it with energy and exuberance. So the clients that do come to me, they're willing to do the work and they're willing to go networking, but they're so worried that what's going to come out of their mouth isn't right or is going to push people away. So that's the part that we work on, is we develop their new language. And that's really all it is. We're all speaking a language right now, but let's reinvent that language and up-level it a little bit so that it not only matches you, it feels good when it comes out of your body. It feels good when it comes out of your mouth. Because if it doesn't feel good, people will notice that and they'll sense your hesitation and your lack of confidence.
You know, that's so true. That is so true. Because, you know, a lot of people that know me now, they're like, you are not an introvert. And I think I'm becoming an ombrivert or whatever, that omnivert or whatever, that's kind of a little bit of both. But I was terrified to go to a networking event. I mean, I'd literally sit out in my car and have to talk myself into getting out of the car. I wanted to throw up when I was like, I wanted to be like the first or second person to go first. So I didn't have to, you know, and I swear I was like always the second to the last person.
No, oh, Lisa.
And so I would have to sit there and be just nauseated, and I wasn't hearing anybody. I tell people, you know, people don't really hear you when they haven't spoken yet, because they're thinking about, what am I going to say? Or is that going to sound corny? But, you know, it's so true. And so I've come to embrace, and I've worked with a coach myself that helped me to be comfortable and find the language that worked for me. So I just thought that would be a good topic to address in our conversation today.
And also, Lisa, when you think about it, I tell everybody this, if you go to a networking event and you don't have a commercial and own it and know it so cold, if you don't go with that, then you're not showing up as authentic and as true as you can. You should have a commercial that anytime someone asks you, what do? You're able to say it with confidence and grace and ease. And if you have to practice your commercial in a networking event before your time, then it just says you don't, it's a nature's way of saying you don't own this language, you don't believe this language, because it isn't baked into your DNA.
And another thing I wanted to share too, because I've been doing, you know, I've been in business. I kind of hit the economy tanker when you did, Liz. So we've kind of been in business the same amount of time, so we've been around the block a little bit. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do on this quote unquote the elevator pitch is, and I've been, and I go to one group, I really like the people and I go back there, I either share a tip about business, like a new application, or talk about Zoom. I go, have you ever done video conference? I share a tip that people are like, oh, and then they ask me more, so they talk to me more about what's that again. Or I will share a success story. Like I said, I go, I'm so excited. This Wednesday, I'm going to be actually going down to the Mariners. One of my clients got invited to try out pitching for the Mariners. And so, you know, a lot of people don't know that hypnosis really helps in sports. And so I was able to share that, you know. So people are going, oh, that's right, she's a hypnotherapist. But I don't always mention it. So I do unique different things every time, so they learn a little bit more about who I am every time
that's
I go.
That's lovely.
So I really switch it up. Yeah.
And that's a real good way to stand out, because you're offering someone, you're giving something to someone versus taking the time to talk about yourself. There's a big difference when you give information or when you're just filling up air to talk about yourself, filling up
that
air time. So
it's true. And when, you know, and Liz, because, you know, you're a business expert yourself, it's funny when we get these new social media tools. I mean, because you and I understand how fast social media really is helping our business. I don't see it as a harm, but a help. And so when, you know, I just mentioned Zoom, for people, they're probably going, what's Zoom? So I want to answer to them, what is Zoom? Because they're like, oh, you led me on, what is Zoom? It's zoom.us, and it is a video conference tool that I use with my clients. And it's free to sign up, and you can do simple, I believe it's 40 minutes. And I tell people to use it to talk with your family. I have one daughter that's in Alabama, and so we get together and we meet up. So I thought I'm going to just share that, since, you know, I brought it up. How dare I bring up something and not explain what it is? So
good
you,
idea.
Do you have
that's
a tool
true.
That you like, Liz, that you would like to share with the listeners? And do you have any special offers today, too?
I do, and I do have one tool that I use just because it helps in my business as well. Is I record every single coaching call that I do with my clients, and so that they've got not only a paper trail of what we've worked on and created, they've got their own sales and marketing and business library, CD library. So I use freeconferencecall.com. It's free, and we turn on the recording, and as soon as we're done, I shut it off. I send them the MP3. I label it and say, this is session 6. We talked about this, 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 and this, and then they can file it away, so if they ever have to go back and say, oh, we did some role plays around that, or, oh, that was the one that we worked on, my elevator speech, they can go back and re-listen to that. And I have clients tell me all the time how much they go back to listen to some of those role play sales calls and some things that we worked on together, just for a refresher. No different than popping in a Brian Tracy CD or an Eckhart Tolle CD. You have access to your own work, and that's
live.
Invaluable to people.
I love that. And so that's called conferencecall.com? Is that
freeconferencecall.com.
And so you also said that you might have a special offer for the kittens listening today.
I do. I have an audio program that's free on my website at lizwendling.com, lizwendling.com. And it's an audio program on some of the language that turns people off and the language that lights people up. So what is the language that consumers are just sick of tolerating? And then what is the language that they really want to hear? The language that engages people and opens them up versus shuts them down and makes them run away from you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to go and check that out. I'm going to go
good.
And check that out today.
So it's at lizwendling.com.
Wonderful. Liz, we only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to give this time for you to share whatever message that you want to share, maybe something that you've overcome, maybe something that you want to share to inspire to not give up?
Ooh, that's nice. I'll share something that I just learned very, very recently. When I started my business, no one told me to be open to receiving, to be ready for the gifts that want to come to you. And I spent the first 5 years of building my business, I called it the Donald Trump way. I forced and pushed and I made things happen, and I was this, you know, dominant businesswoman, and I got stuff done. I made things happen for myself. I wrote 2 books and I was force, push. But I never gave the time. I didn't loosen up my grip enough to let the good stuff come to me and let all that I was putting out there have a chance to come back to me. And now I run my business and have this fabulous flow. I don't force things anymore. I know that things happen at the right time. So yes, I do all the work that I need to, but in the back of my head, I know that things will flow to me in exactly the right time. And that the forcing it, there's no way that I was going to be able to sustain that type of force in my business. So I just loosened the grip a little bit. I still work hard, but I don't have a tight grasp on it.
That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. It has been an absolute delight having you on the show, and I'm so glad that you were able to call live from now Denver. Are you in Denver?
Yep. Denver. Yep.
That's where you're different. So okay, I always ask about weather too on my show. I don't know what the deal is with the weather, but it is like in the low 70s here in Washington State. What's the weather doing there?
It's a little overcast, cloudy, and after we've had like 30-something days of straight rain on and off, so it's been nice to see the sun, and it's probably in the 70s today, but we're heading into our hot months. Bring it on. I'm ready.
You're like, I am so ready for the sunshine. I'm so ready for the sunshine. Well, thank you, Liz, for joining me. And I hope at some time that you will come back and share more of your generous tips that you've shared with the listeners today. We will be back next Monday, and I look forward to hearing from you if you have any questions. And once again, you can reach out to Liz at LIZWENDLING.com. And she will be happy to talk to you. She is not a high-pressure salesperson. She wants to work with you if you're the right fit. So do not hesitate to reach out to Liz. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Liz. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.